This is Infection, the survival podcast, recorded live on Tuesday, February 21st, 2017, episode 110. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Infection, the survival podcast. Infection is your source for the latest information on survival video games. We bring you the latest news, reviews, updates, and more each and every week. My name is Nick Craig, at Nicholas M. Craig is my Twitter. InfectionPodcast.com is our website. Without him, there would be no show. Brian Aldridge. Hey, Brian, how are you?
Hey, everybody. If you want to find me at Boise Computer on Twitter, or you're more than welcome to go check out my blog, biteoftech.com. If you haven't been to our Discord channel yet, or if you haven't joined our Steam group yet, I encourage you to go to infectionpodcast.com. Right-hand side, you've got a link that says join under Discord. It'll show a nice little list of who's in there already. But you can click that link. It will add you to our Discord group. It's a great place to find people that are playing games with us. Also, our Steam group, great place to get notifications of shows when they're starting. Also, our Friday night game nights, send notifications out for that. So if you aren't a member of that, which I don't know, this has to be one of your first episodes, then you should at least join. It costs you nothing.
Yes, free of charge. I mean, you can't be free. This is the internet. Everybody believes everything should be free. You shouldn't have to pay for anything. Video games should be free. Everything should be just free. I am greatly, illy unprepared for today's show. I was running very far behind today, so we'll see what happens here. But Brian, before we start, we are just 16 days,
a little over two weeks. This is crazy.
15 days till we'll all be meeting up in Boston. It's gonna be a great time. We're really looking forward to it. You can head on over to our website. We are spending way more on merchandise than we were supposed to. You can head on over to our website.
It's a spending machine.
Stuff was a lot more. I did not calculate the amount of things we would need to purchase. You can head on over to our website, infectionpodcast.com/PAX, and throw us a few bones if you feel so inclined to do so. We do have some cool stuff. We've been booking some interviews with some different companies. And just a lot of cool stuff that we are looking forward to being able to do at PAX East, interview-wise, video-wise. So that's all going to be kicking off here. We'll have, I believe, two more episodes of the show. Yep, two more episodes of the show. And then we'll be out at PAX, and then we'll be back the week after that. So that's going to do that. What else? Any other housekeeping things that we need to...
We were able to sell our PAX tickets, which was good.
Yes,
JD, thank you. We hooked up one of his friends with
those should have actually arrived today. Hopefully they did.
The tracking showed that those things should have gotten there today.
Awesome. So we are all set on that. Good stuff all around. Again, if you are going to PAX, we're going to be doing probably a dinner, probably Thursday night, Thursday night or Saturday night. With people. So if you are out at PAX, get in touch with us, tweet us at InfectionCast or send us an email if it's a more private matter. Contact at InfectionPodcast.com. We will be there Thursday night, Friday, Saturday, and then we're leaving Sunday morning. So we'll be there for 3 days. Yeah. So cool stuff altogether. We're really looking forward to it. And again, thanks to anybody and everybody that is making this trip possible. We really do appreciate it. All right. With all of that out of the way, as more PR, we are getting spammed with PR emails on our email address.
Well, just the thing is, you kind of have to filter them because we're kind of a niche, even though we've spread out to survival games in general, that's still a niche. And so you get emails for every
mostly
odd
point and
little,
clicks.
Yeah, point and clicks, ton of RPGs. But like this morning, we got one from that one company that is a game that we talk about, you know, so there'll be that.
What do you want to who is that actually?
So that is with Frontier, I think is the name of the company, which makes, what's the name of the game?
Elite Dangerous.
Sorry. Jeez. Elite Dangerous, which is a game that is a lot of fun. I've played it actually this week a little bit. It is very hard. If you don't play it for a long time, the game is very difficult to it's difficult to jump back into because the controls are so specific. And you have to remember it, you know, if I had maybe a controller that all the things did certain things, maybe that would be better. But
all the things did things. Okay.
Yeah. Well, you know what I'm saying? Like
yes, no.
To accelerate, you throw a knob up, you know, there's actual things that you're doing, but instead there's so many key presses that you have to remember to do anything.
Like, now that's just
slow
such a
down
turn
from
off.
Hyperspeed.
Yeah.
It's fun. Like when you're into it, like when you get into it and you're right there, like you remember all that stuff, it really makes it so you can do a lot of stuff. But when you're sitting there trying to remember, oh, I'm in hyperspeed, how do I slow down? Where do I go to like find this right planet? And there's a lot to it, but that gives you a game that has a lot of longevity though.
Yeah. And it's not that I don't like
super simple.
It's not that I don't like hard games. It's just, you know, there's just a certain level of comfort, you know, playing the game. You know, if you have to spend an hour or 2 hours relearning how to play the game before
remembering
you can actually
how to play. Yep.
It's just, doesn't that just, I mean, I don't know. It's again, to each their own with that, but it's just one of those things for me. It's like, and Brian almost had me sold on that game. And I'm sure when we hang out with them at PAX East, I will be woefully
Nick will be
convinced.
All in. He will be all in.
Oh man, this is going to be, I can't wait to play this game.
I'm going to get this as soon as I get home.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Yeah, exactly. I'm sure that's exactly what's going to happen.
It should be a lot of fun. They'll be showing off some of their new stuff. That game has so much depth. And the thing is I bought the expansion for it and I haven't played, like, I don't know how to even play the new stuff. Like landing on the planets and doing all these different things. Like I've done it in the training, but when I come up to a planet where I can land on, it's like, okay, what exactly do I have to do? So it'll be fun to go there and see some of the new things coming up because they're really adding to that game. That is an amazing game. So, and it is a survival game.
Yes.
It's a space survival game. So it fits right under our genre.
Yeah. So before we jump into survival stories, Brian, we've been following and we will continue to follow the trails of John Smedley, who is the H1Z1 is his brainchild, formerly the CEO of Daybreak Games, maybe not. I don't remember exactly what his title was, but H1Z1 was his game. And he went out, did his own thing, created Pixel Mage Games, started a Kickstarter, was unsuccessful with that Kickstarter for, off the top of my head, I don't remember the name of his indie game that he was making. But we have good news to pass along for everybody that is fans of his work, that Amazon has announced that it's Amazon Game Studio, which is opening up a San Francisco branch. He will be joining, and he will be leading the San Diego division of the Amazon Game Studio. And it appears, Brian, from all accounts, what we've seen with Amazon now owns Twitch, which I'm sure most people know, but it's something you have to think about every once in a while. They recently purchased a version of Unreal and have turned it into their own proprietary
Lumberyard.
Exactly, their own kind of proprietary game
engine.
Which was
based off of CryEngine. They pretty much split it and created a Lumberyard.
Yep. So they are fully fledged in game development. I should say in video games, from the streaming and the marketing and the video side of it to the actual development side of it. And I am sure that Smedley will do a great job there at Amazon. I'm looking forward to him having Amazon money behind anything he wants to do.
Yeah.
So is it possible?
And that's the thing with the game that they were looking at doing. That had a lot of potential. I mean, it was a very ambitious project.
Yes.
And it looked like a really cool game, but it was one of those pixel games. And I assume that the reason he went for a pixel game, because it's easier graphics wise to make. You know, it's not dealing with a ton of assets. I assumed he was like, well, we're a bunch of programmers, right?
Yeah.
So they made something that was more pixely. Amazon's not going to want to show off their game engine with a pixel game.
Correct.
They're going to want to do something that's truly 3D, that's really pushing the edge. And so he's going to have to adjust to that.
Well, and it might be interesting. It seems like, I don't want to go into this too long because we do have a bunch of news to cover, but I think it's interesting to talk about. It seems like the game that they were developing, which was a really advanced game from the, every story was generated. It went through, it would tell you year by year what was going on.
Programming wise, it was a very advanced game.
Exactly. It may have not looked super advanced, but with Amazon's full support behind him, with him leading the San Diego division of the Amazon Game Studio, I think that we could possibly see what H1Z1 wanted to be.
Yeah.
Maybe not necessarily in zombie form, but an H1Z1.
It might not be like H1Z1, but
That kind of caliber of game where it's a mainstream. I mean, you got to remember, he worked on EverQuest. EverQuest is one of the most successful game franchises of all time.
Incredibly cutting edge at the time.
Yes. So when I say something like H1Z1, I'm not necessarily saying
H1Z1 2.
Exactly.
Or H1Z2.
Exactly. But something that is revolutionary, like games like EverQuest, because he was going to have the full resources of staff and more money than God at Amazon to spend with game development. So it's going to be very interesting to see what the result of this is, but of course we'll continue to follow this. And I would not be surprised in the slightest if we see a real, top A, triple A game coming out of this Amazon studio with Smedley in the lead of that division. So that's good stuff. That's great for people that enjoyed the games that he's worked on, like EverQuest and PlanetSide and H1Z1 and stuff like that.
And they'll probably let him really, aim for the fences on this first one, because I mean, if he would have come with something super ambitious to Daybreak, they'll be like, how much money is that going to be? I mean, he came to Sony with an ambitious thing, but the thing is it wasn't really that ambitious in the, if you look at it, H1Z1 now isn't really that much of an ambitious project.
No, but I believe at the time what it was going to be.
It was at the time.
Yes. I mean, he's clearly a smart guy.
I think if he came with something and said, hey, here's something that I don't see other people doing, this is pretty big, I think it'll work, they would actually probably put the money behind it.
Yeah.
I don't know that if he, would have stayed at Daybreak or if he, even with his own company, it's tough to put the money on with a new company like that. As he found out, it's tough to put the money behind it because you don't have other things supporting it.
Exactly. And of course, if you remember, this is more, I feel like more like an e-magazine than anything else right at this point. But there were a couple of staffers from H1Z1, from Daybreak Games that left to join him at Pixel Mage Games. Steve George, I believe, was one of them.
Yep, he's one of them.
And they are also moving to Amazon.
A number of them are going with him, which shows that he's loyal, which is good.
Yes.
People are willing to follow him, and that's good.
Exactly. So, with him in the lead of that San Diego studio, expect some cool stuff to be coming out of that in the coming years. I'm really looking forward to that. And I honestly, Brent, I think Amazon is going to become a serious player in this game. I think I honestly think this is totally just off the top of my head. I can totally see an Activision, a 2K, a Sledgehammer, a major, them turning themselves into a major game publisher. If they get the right people in there. I seriously think they can do that.
One of their first projects they worked on was for their Fire TV. And I actually got it, and it was very well done. But, I mean, it's pretty much like an advanced Android game at that point.
Yeah.
But they had a full controller for it. My wife and I played this game where it was a two-player game on the Fire TV, and you each had kind of different roles that you would do. I think she played on a tablet with it.
Oh, interesting.
And then I played with a controller, and then you were actually controlling things on the TV.
Neat.
Very well done. It was a lot of fun to play. And so I think, that was kind of just them testing out the waters. It'll be interesting to see if they keep pushing it up, because that was a very unique game that I didn't see anything else really like it.
Yeah, and obviously, I mean, we don't know the details of it, but they must have shelled out some serious cash for Lumberyard to be able to literally buy a version of CryEngine that they've made it their own. They must have shoveled some serious cash.
Networking code was bad. They've had to have reworked that whole thing. And that's the thing they can really sell now to people that were on CryEngine previous versions, like Miscreated, that are really struggling to get networking working really well on it.
Yeah.
Amazon can turn around and just say, hey, here you go. We've got the networking part done.
And here's your servers.
Use our servers. Yep. Yeah. And you know, servers are ready to go. We've done what for a lot of companies is the really hard part.
Yeah.
You know, you feel free to move your game over because it's already a big conversion for a lot of people to try to go to the new version of CryEngine. It's easier for them to switch over to Lumberyard.
Yeah. There you go. We'll see. I'm pretty stoked for this. Of course we wish him well. And he's a pretty ambitious guy, so I would not be surprised to see some crazy stuff coming from Amazon Game Studios with him in the lead there. At the San Diego. I don't know where their other offices are. I would imagine they have one in L.A. and New York or something like that. But we'll see what's up with that.
Yep.
So, Conan Exiles, did you play any this week, Brian?
No, I mean, I logged in for a little bit, but I haven't really played it. A lot of people are playing it pretty religiously, and they're still playing it. But I think they're kind of hitting the cap of where the game is at the moment. And that was kind of my worry of playing the game too much right now is I think that they're still implementing a lot of these things. They're still fixing a lot of things. And I didn't want it to be where I hit that cap of, oh, now I've done everything. You know, we'll burn out on it until they do something major.
Yeah.
So we'll see. There's a lot of people playing it, but it's right now, you know, it gets repetitive because they don't have a ton of end game stuff done yet. Plus there's a lot of bugs being fixed. So I don't know if we don't jump in, on the 15th. So this was February 15th. They did a patch, which fixed loading screens. So this is 15.2.2017, which
this is a big
European
one.
Dates. And then the server performance fixes, NPCs should be less jittery when rotating. Fix for connections to servers via Steam server browser and when using Steam Connect, because they've really been struggling with that. Buildings should now load in much faster. Placeables placed on foundations and ceiling tiles are now saved correctly. Several improvements to how rocks behave when they are harvested, as far as probably how the physics of them flying off. Small placeables can no longer claim... placeables no longer claim land. So it must have been if you place something really small, it would claim the land around it. NPC camps now have their own land claim zone to prevent people from building so close that they stop spawning NPCs. You should no longer get phantom duplicates in the Wheel of Pain, which, you know, they wouldn't actually do anything. You could duplicate a hammer, maybe give it to your friend for fun to see him die a couple times.
Yeah, wait for them to go out and try to kill something with it.
Yep. Because that's the thing on this is it would look normal to you, but when you hit something, it does exactly zero damage. T2 alters should no longer disappear after a server crash. Surrender should no longer break early when using fists. Removed invisible collision that was blocking a certain chest in the world. Arrows no longer shoot in random crazy directions. Ranged weapons should now always fire correctly. Rhinos should no longer try to walk through players. Palisades are now correctly deal damage on contact. Palisades should now be easier to place. Fixed a case where players were able to destroy rocks with their fists. Sorry, but was this privilege is reserved only for Conan himself. Fixed an issue where interactable objects would spam. Press E to interact on the GUI. Added a directional arrow to many placeables to help players orient them correctly, so you know which way is front. The offering of Mithra recipe now correctly requires one human heart and one unblemished meat. They fixed an issue with their stair placement detection. Gong and horns are now audible over greater distances, so you can actually hear them. Probably was a very small area of effect that originally added new emotes that can be learned by tracking down story NPCs and getting them to teach you, which I think is a cool mechanic that you actually can learn new emotes by finding people in game. And then they did some balances. So like, you know, things giving more or less XP, just different crafting XPs, balances on certain weapons. And then they did some visual improvements. So the Dogs of the Desert finally got their own uniforms. So they have some new uniform, new outfits that those guys wear. They fixed the female heads to be a little bit better. Added some more hairstyles. So maybe if you create your character, you might want to look at some of the new ones that they've added recently. Updated some icons. And then they put in here some current bugs that are still in the system, but we've still got some fixes to go. So I don't know if you want to go on to 217.
Yeah, so let's jump into 217.2. I love this first note on here. This is a notice. Due to an issue, all server admins are recommended to change their server's administration passwords as soon as their servers are updated. So clearly there was some issue where either A, the password was being stored in some type of clear text format, or it was just visible to everybody. But there was clearly some issue with that. So this patch, which was released on February 17th, which would have been last Friday, dealt with that. And, of course, some other things as well. The game should now start more quickly. This is the original launch of the game. Every once in a while, you'd launch the game, and it would just kind of hang for maybe 20 to 40 seconds before you would see the splash screen. So hopefully that starts up a little bit quicker now. Some general bugs and fixes. Explosive jars should no longer be stackable on top of each other. The building placement previews are now visible once again in local play. Character rubber banding has been reduced. This was a big one. There was a lot of rubber banding. again, not sure if that's client or server side. It's a combination of both, but hopefully on the client side that's worked out now. Placeables should no longer lose items stored inside of them. The console command walk can now be used only by admins in order to fix an exploit. The history filter is back and should now function as intended. Dropping multiple items from an inventory should no longer turn them invisible, which could be part of
that's helpful.
That could be quite an issue. Using the loot all option on corpses and loot bags should now work correctly. I knew for a while it did not. Some balance and game fixes here is the water skins can now be refilled from the river, which is really important because water is so crazy in this game. The inverted wooden roof wedge and stone bridge frame now require journeyman craftsmen instead of master craftsmen. So that's a level down, I believe, if I'm correct with that. Journeyman craftsman's lower down. So it allows you to just use those items now at a lower level. The hyenas and the spiders are now less dangerous. I didn't have too much interaction with the spiders, Brian, but I did with the hyenas. They weren't crazy strong.
But the thing is when you get three or four of them on you.
Yeah. I had a couple cases when I was early on, like low level, level five or six. I could fend off two, maybe even three of them.
They made it almost impossible to run across the map.
They did, which maybe was a good thing. Since the map isn't so big, right?
Yeah, they do need to limit it, but I think they probably figured out that it was a little bit too much.
Yeah, and then the spiders I didn't have a whole lot of interaction with, but those have both been kind of duped.
I didn't find the spiders to be nearly as threatening, but the thing is there usually wasn't as many groups of spiders.
Yeah, and Green Men is saying kind of the same thing. It's just the numbers, and it was. I mean, they jump on you in groups of 3 to 6, which could be quite an issue with that. So fast attacks with two-handed hammers have been temporarily disabled. So that's the fast attack.
You have to do the long heavy swings.
Obviously, there's some issue going on with the quickness of that attack or something like that. Caves near the starting area no longer cause corruption, which is a problem because that stuff doesn't go away unless you get some kind of potion from a specific god. The gods of exiles.
Yeah, if you capture one of those people that will do the dancing.
The dancer? Yeah, the dancers.
Mm-hmm. That'll take it away.
The gods of exiles now prevent you from harvesting the same player corpse for 30 minutes. Attempting to do so will show a rigor mortis message, so you'll no longer be able to do that. Now, this is for you modders and the people that like to mod with this stuff. If you activate a mod that requires a restart, the game will now tell you, instead of not, which could be an issue, rename the dev kit button to the Conan Exiles dev kit. So that's the name of the button now. Fix the crash when opening the shortcut bar in dev kit. Fix possible issues with server admin passwords. All server admins should change their passwords after this patch. Fix broken mods loading after this patch. And then there's a couple of known issues that are in this as well. We are aware of some issues with the explosive jars. We expect to have these fixes in the next coming weeks. They're also aware of the existence of issues that relate to jumping or boosting while crouching. So there's a way that you can kind of exploit the crouch jump system, which is common. It seems like common in a lot of these games, the way to kind of crouch away or to just deal with things or weird with crouching. And then they're also aware that players may occasionally be sent to the main menu while loading and can interact with the menu. It says and can. Maybe that's supposed to be can't interact.
I assume it would be can't.
So there was obviously an issue with that. And then also on the 18th, so that would have been Saturday, this is a hot fix, another one. And once again, so this is after the 17th where they told you to change your password. Now on the 18th, they're recommending again that server owners change their passwords. We sincerely apologize for this inconvenience this may cause in your respective communities. Fixed a vulnerability with the server administration password. There was obviously some way that you...
There's some way they got to be looking them up.
Yeah, exactly. So they fixed that, hopefully. And then there's kind of a side note in this. After this patch, they will start the process of re-enabling BattleEye on official servers. So originally, servers came on with Ping Perfect. They were BattleEye enabled. It was a combination, I believe, of both BattleEye. BattleEye's weird. It's not just, you know, install BattleEye and your game works perfectly. BattleEye is a little weird. There's timeouts. And then also you add that to the Ping Perfect servers being extremely unreliable. People weren't able to get into the games because you would load into the server. BattleEye wouldn't initialize. You would get kicked, or BattleEye wouldn't initialize, so it wouldn't let you into the server. There's a whole bunch of issues with BattleEye. Hopefully now that they're back on, I don't even know, game servers, I think is where they're hosting.
Yeah,
now.
That's what it is.
The servers are hopefully a little bit more stable, and they'll be able to re-implement BattleEye to deal with cheating and people that are doing that stuff. So that's good news. I know a lot of people don't like BattleEye because it does cause issues, but in the end, I think it's a much better solution because it does stop people from cheating.
Yeah, it doesn't have people constantly hacking.
Exactly. So that brings us to current. Today, February 21st, we had another patch. This one fixed long load times into the main menu after a PC restart. So this is kind of once you do a cold boot of your computer, the long load times to that. Rolled out a fix for players occasionally being sent to the main menu while loading, and then made database serialization more robust. The Asian region servers are actually being brought up now. These servers will have 2 XP and 2 harvesting for 1 week, excluding PvP Blitz servers. These servers are physically located outside of Asia. We are still waiting for new server hardware to arrive in Asia. Once the hardware has arrived, they will move the game databases onto the servers located in Asia. So there's clearly something that is... So they've partnered with game servers. And obviously the Asia servers in Asia, located in Asia. I mean, you can have an Asia server in the US. It's not an Asia server. It needs to be in their region so that they have low ping times for the people in that region. There's clearly some type of hardware issue with getting the hardware deployed out there enough where they're putting up the servers now. It's probably going to be a month.
They must have some pretty high resource intensive things going on their servers.
Yeah. Obviously, they're rolling out.
This is what they had to do.
Yeah, and it's clear to me that if the servers were going to be in 3 days, they would not have rolled out Asia region servers in the U.S. to just move the databases over to Asia. So there's clearly something going on with that, which is fine, because these are going to be legit servers. This is not. I don't think they're sharing. Like, I don't think the Conan Exile servers. Official server is going to be running
sharing a bunch with
side
Arc.
By side with like a Counter-Strike server, an Arc server. Yeah. This is clearly dedicated hardware, and game servers and Conan are spending an immense amount of money to get these servers up, to get this hardware shipped and set up and allocated. They're doing a good job with that stuff. But nevertheless, those servers are coming up soon. There are some game bug fixes and improvements with this as well. Spider projectiles have the correct sizes again. Voice chat in-game now uses Steam peer-to-peer chat. This would fix issues where the voice chat did not work, plus server performance. It's not going to work through the server. It's not going to send it back and forth. It's going to be local peer-to-peer connection. The voice chats also have less latency and clicks due to that as well, because it's a peer-to-peer connection now. Middle Eastern countries have been moved out of the game's Asia region. So are they going to spin up new servers for the for Middle Eastern countries? That's what it appears. They'll have specific servers for people playing in the Middle East, which I don't think I've ever seen, actually.
No.
I've never seen a... It's normally U.S., Europe and then maybe Australia and Asia. I've never seen Middle Eastern as a server option.
They must see that there's a high number of players. I'm
curious how that process is going to work and how many servers there's going to be. I wonder what the player base is in the Middle East. That's pretty fascinating. Hopefully, we'll see once those servers officially come up. There's no details on those, so I would imagine that's quite a ways away. Then there's some also known issues as well. They're currently aware of the following issues in Conan Exiles. Explosive jar exploits. This is still around, and they plan on rolling out a fix very soon for this trademark. Stacks of items will in certain situations, have their size set to 1. They're working on a fix for that. That could be a problem if you have rare resource in stack where the number is set back to 1. That could be an issue. Bows occasionally won't fire or consume ammunition. They're working on fixing that as well. And then they're also aware that archers and archer thralls overshoot their targets and are harmlessly useless at point blank range. So obviously, and I guess that's kind of makes sense. I mean, bows and arrows typically are more of a long range weapon anyway. You would typically switch to a melee weapon close range anyway. So maybe, is that a bad thing? Maybe
One thing I did was for our thrall was place it up on a building so that nothing could get close enough to it. And it seemed to do pretty well doing that.
Okay. Yeah. It just
for the archer thralls.
I mean, it's just the issue they're describing. Archers and archer thralls overshoot their targets and are useless at point blank range. That's kind of the issue with archery in every game is it's a distance thing. There's no reason to use archery when you're right next to somebody. So maybe that's a good thing. Not good for the thralls.
Well, they still need to be somewhat accurate.
You would think. So we'll see what happens with that. But I believe if there were no other updates, that brings us to current.
Current for Conan. And ARC didn't have a ton this week. So we have two patches for ARC, 254.94. And the Trudon now have 50% less targeting distance to players on foot and 15% less. C4 attached to dinos, and this is something they've been working on a lot lately, is C4 and dinos. Kind of reworking the whole base rating thing. But C4 attached to dinos on or platform saddles can no longer be remote detonated through world geometry. So if you can't see it, I'm assuming that means you can't detonate it. Fixed harvesting resources, not properly adding to completely filled stacks. And that's it. I mean, that's a pretty small patch. And then they did a 254.944. So this is a sub patch of that. They fixed an issue with harvesting saying X items removed. And then they added a server variable, which says clamp items spoiling times to equals true. And this clamps all spoiling times to the item's maximum spoiling times. So this said this is useful if any infinite spoiling exploits were used on the server and you wish to clean them up. So maybe you had something. So people had somehow made something so it would never spoil. You can do this and that will make it so they actually will spoil. So other than that, that's the only patches I saw this week, and they do have some upcoming, we've talked about a little bit, but on the 24th, so in 3 days, they're going to be doing the new 255, which brings in those 4 new dinos and then some of the tech tier things. So not a ton this week on ARC, a lot less than usual.
Yes. That patch is actually supposed to be out today.
February 24th is what it says, 255.
Yeah, I thought it was. It was supposed to be out on the 20th. Actually, it was supposed to be out on the 20th, and then they pushed it, I believe.
They pushed it out, yeah.
And this isn't a crazy patch. This is more of a... This is one of the, I think, one of the most modest patches we've seen in a while. It's 4 new dinosaurs and some structures for the tech tier. That's about it. You think ARC is kind of hit a wall? I know we touched on this maybe last week or the week before. What's next? And I know we talked about water and stuff like that. But with the new tech tier, obviously they've got a lot of things they can improve with. A lot of things that they can do with the tech tier, obviously. They can literally go to space with the tech tier if they want to. Do you think they've hit a wall, though?
I don't know
though?
That they really want to go. How much farther can they go?
Well, that's my question.
Short of dinosaurs flying in space...
That's what my else? Whole point is what is next? I mean, literally space is the next evolution of technology that they're going to be able to do.
I mean, they have been saying they're going to come out of alpha. Maybe the tech tier thing is kind of the last thing, and now it's going to be some polish.
Well, you know, I don't remember. This was months ago I got this information. Do not take the, I mean, not like I do a pod. This is not accurate news, I don't think. But I was told months ago by somebody that March was when they were coming out of early access. I don't know if that to be true. I haven't seen anything about that ever, but I was told
maybe that's the type of thing they would announce at PAX.
That's possible.
And very possible.
Hoping that we'll be able to stop by their booth and talk with them at PAX. But I have to wonder, you take a game that is so successful like Ark, they're kind of clearly, I guess the server wipe is what's going to reinvigorate that game eventually, especially when a launch to public will most likely encompass a server wipe, I would presume.
Yeah, but, and I think there's a lot of ends they can tie up. They haven't really gotten into the storytelling of it.
You think they will?
So they've got the features there. I mean, they keep saying they will. What's the point? Of why are you there? What are all these different things in the world? You know, why are you in some simulated environment? That's what I look at and I say, well, what? You know, they haven't told any of that story. There should be a story behind it. I mean, it shouldn't all just be, oh, this just sounded cool. Let's throw it all in there. And so I think that maybe that's what they'll be telling with. And going out on a limb and doing a little bit of speculation.
Yeah, let's do it.
If you look at the thing they released that was kind of like that dinosaur tour.
Oh,
did you see that?
The thing on YouTube?
Yeah, so that was something they released. And it was kind of like a tour thing. And I'm wondering if that was them kind of doing technology tests of how they're going to do some things in the game with the final release without showing it off to people, you know, wanting it to be a surprise. I'm just wondering if that is how they're going to do it, of some kind of story unfolding and like them telling a story in a similar way.
So do you think that we're in a situation where they didn't want to tell a story because the game was early access and
I don't think they want to give it away before the game. I think they want to release it with the actual game.
I mean, and this is clearly, I shouldn't say this is clearly, this is the exact thing that Jens Erik talked with us about with Conan, is that there's only going to be so much story until the game comes out, because there's zero point of
telling it all in pieces and having it being a broken part when the point is you're trying to tell a story. And that's what I'm wondering, is are they trying to tell a story here? Like,
I don't think they need to.
It's called Ark Park. JD had called it out. So this is kind of like a thing where it's a VR experience. You go in there and you go through kind of like Jurassic Park in a way. This is something that I think that they could really pull off if they're trying to come up with a nice set of, you know, what's the point of being in here? Some sort of story that unfolds of you being placed into this environment. Like, 'cause right now you're just placed there and there's nothing coming up before it. I think that maybe this is them. I mean, I think that it would be smart of them to give it the polish of something like this. You know, maybe it's not this, but I think this is more of a technology hint at what might be the way of telling the story of why you're in the world. Because if you look, I mean, that's a lot of tech. What would be the point of putting that out there unless they're trying to test something? They're trying to do something.
Yeah, well, it's interesting with VR, and I'm not sure if this is...
Look at all the character animation they've done. They've never done that before.
This is a Sony VR experience. This looks like a Sims like setup where there's just a whole bunch of people mingling around. I don't know what this is. There was a different logo at the start. It wasn't the game studio. I'm drawing a wild card. It wasn't Wildcard's logo at the beginning of this video. So
it's based on their.
It is based on their game, but I wonder if this was a VR company, a VR studio, teaming up with PlayStation.
Hey,
Wildcard,
really well made assets.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm curious if something like that. I mean, this looks straight out of Jurassic Park right now. You're driving a car under dinosaurs. It's outsourced, exactly. So
I mean, but what if the whole story behind Ark that we don't know about is you're paying for an experience to live with the dinosaurs? You know what I'm saying? Kind of like the whole theory of Westworld. You want to experience the world. I mean, look where she's at. Like that is someone going in and experience the world of dinosaurs. What if that's the whole VR experience, is you getting into a machine and then you are placed, and that's the whole point of Ark. You're then placed in that environment. And that's what that whole thing in your arm is.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's pretty neat.
Have you ever thought of it like that?
Here's why I haven't thought about it. Honestly, I think they would have had to implement some story, I think.
It's all right there. Like, look, that's all the
I get it, but don't you think, I mean, they test every,
you're placed into the world. Everything before that point would be this, what you're seeing in Ark Park.
So how would that translate to not VR?
And you're in there. It doesn't have to be VR. It doesn't matter that it's VR. They did it just more of a show off thing.
Mm.
But I mean, that, imagine that whole concept of, you know, you're a person who says, I want to live the life. And then what if that is an expansion into more that they could do? You have Ark, and then you have other type of environments, not just dinosaurs. Like, this could be an expansion that you still have that beginning launching area, and then you're then picking. You know what I'm saying? Like, this could go a lot of places.
It totally could. I agree. It's just, I don't know. I don't think Ark needs a story. I don't think they're ever going to have a real story.
But that would be a nice excuse. Like, you're coming in and then bam, you're placed into that world.
I don't know. I'm not a story guy.
All it has to be is really an intro.
Yeah, true.
You know what I'm saying? Then, like, it doesn't have to really affect the game after you're in.
But then, is that really story? Like, would you be satisfied with that?
You put everything into context.
But okay, again, my question: would you be satisfied with that being your story for Ark?
Yeah, because that would give them a lot of leeway of why things are the way they are. Like, what's the point of all this? And they could even then start putting some cool things in the world, you know, that hint to that. Like, there's no hint to any kind of other technology in the world that's not weird and super advanced. They could throw in like some room that has, you know, some old equipment in there that doesn't match the time period, right? For fun.
Yeah.
I think that would be cool stuff to find. There's nothing really to find in the world right now.
True.
I think it gives them things for people to look for. I think it would give it a little more depth.
That is very possible. I don't think there's going to be a story for Ark. I don't think there needs to be a story for Ark. That's just my personal opinion on it.
I mean, it doesn't really need to, but I think if they're trying to make this a full package,
I mean, I would.
I think that's what it's missing.
You think an intro is?
I think that it would seem more polished.
You think that beginning story is the intro? Like the entire game, you think like was not complete without something like that that just explains why you're there?
Yeah, because I mean, right now, like, you go from the menu to, oh, you're alive in some world and you got something in your arm and you have no clue why. Like, they could kind of create kind of a cool feel of going into the game and you feel like this is an experience, not just a what in the world am I doing here? You know, it would give it context.
Yeah. Interesting. I'm not sure.
And that would explain, as Daisy says, why you can constantly respawn. Like, it would make everything make sense in the world.
Well, there you go. Maybe.
And why you can ride on dinosaurs.
I guess. Yeah. I could see something like that being possible.
So.
Yeah.
I think that's. And Green Man says he likes waking up on the island. That's how it starts to unfold the experience. And I think that, but they still at some point need to do a little of explaining of what's the whole point. Like, what is the thing in the arm? What is, you know, what are these big, you know, things that are pointing up in the air and dropping from the sky? And like, none of it makes any sense right now, other than there's some other story that you don't know about.
Yes, that is true.
The whole point of this game is to unfold those things.
Yeah.
And nothing is unfolded at the moment. Like, there's no hint at what in the world the point is. So I just think that, I mean, I don't say that they have to do my story, but I think they should, if they're not going to explain it in the world, at least explain it in a cutscene going into the world.
Yeah, definitely.
And maybe you still need to unfold from there what's going on, but there's not even a hint of where to start. Like, you can't piece anything together because there's not even a single hint in the game other than a few ruins of True. What's going on.
True. All right. Well,
so, that's my opinion.
Well, there you go. Very in depth.
That's the thing is, yeah, JD said, I mean, that's the thing is there's so much more they could do. The whole character creation.
Well, but here's the thing.
Could be made in the Ark Park.
If they were to do a real story, it would be like, it would be a full out story throughout the entire game. You would be unlocking and discovering things. I mean, if you were to say,
that's what I'm saying, that they could start putting things in there that you're kind of,
but that's my point. They would test that stuff.
The world. That's the thing is, that's what I would like, is you're finding the flaws. And that's kind of what, I guess, a little bit of what Westworld is about as well. I mean, not to pull too much from Westworld, but that's people kind of one guy is trying to find the flaws in the world. Right. I think that this could kind of, that could be kind of the point of the game, that, you know, the point of getting to higher levels. So maybe you can find that hole in the world, because there's no other point. Like, other than that, I don't see how they can pull a point together.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I don't see it.
We are just going to have to wait and see this game comes out.
Out of early.
I mean, the game isn't out, and it won't be out until it's out of early access. I mean, it appears to me, at least, that the game is ready, right? Like, it is the most polished, I think, most polished early access game I've ever played. And I've played plenty of early access games, but it's polished. It's been polished for months. I think it's time for an actual release. And it's on everything. It's on Xbox. It's on PlayStation. It's on PC. They're venturing into VR. I mean, what else they need to do?
That's the thing, is that what I was saying, that could pretty much polish the game off and just say it's done. Cause they're in that content limbo of just, you know, what's next? Like, they're just, it feels like they're throwing stuff in. Where, at what point do you tie it all together? Yeah. And I still don't get where they tie it all together. I just don't see it. And that's what kind of is just weird. It's like, well, sure, you're doing all this text to your stuff, you're doing, but what ties it all together?
I'm not sure.
And I can't tell.
Neither can I.
So anyways, that's Ark. Do we want to go ahead and start the first giveaway here?
Yeah. What do we got?
All right. So let me get the points raffle going first. So it's going to be exclamation point giveaway. We will do 40 points to start. And we are going to be giving away a copy of 2064 Read Only Memories.
Oh, okay. This is a programming-based game, correct?
No, this is more, this one's, that's another one. I know one you're thinking of, but okay. This one is more of a visual novel.
Oh, okay.
Not one of the weird visual novels. But it's more of a visual novel.
To me, all visual novels are weird. That's just my opinion. Not to piss off all the visual novel fans.
But yeah, so this is a game that's usually $20 on Steam. It's got really good ratings on it. And it's kind of done in more of an old style, like a DOS style game. But yeah, it's an adventure cyberpunk point and click visual novel. Got very good ratings. I've got it. Seemed like a really interesting game, so I figured people might enjoy it.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, we'll be giving away a copy of that here in just a little bit. So you put exclamation point giveaway, and it should enter you into the raffle. So, yep, and I see people going there now. So should be good to go.
Alrighty. Thank you very much for that exclamation point giveaway. And, of course, that's another reason to tune in live if you are not tuning in live. Tuesday, 7 p.m. Eastern. On our Twitch channel, twitch.tv/infectionpodcast. And of course, we are going to PAX East 2017. We've reached our goal, but every penny with this helps. You can head on over to our website, Infection Podcast.
Nick quickly spent our goals.
Yeah, that's not true. You can head on over to our website, infectionpodcast.com/packs, and throw us a few bucks. We would greatly appreciate that. Rapidly approaching. It'll be it was about 15 days away. Really looking forward to that.
In a week.
What'd you say?
Make sure everything's in order. I'll have to start getting ready in like a week.
Yeah, we need to start getting ready now because we are. Jake was texting me today. He's like, "Hey, man, so what night are you guys recording the Infection from PAX?" And I was like, I'm not sure. Maybe Friday night. And he's like, "Oh, well, what about the dinner thing? When are you guys going out to dinner with everybody?" I was like, I'm not sure about that either.
We need to set that all stuff because first of all, Heisenberg, if he's driving in, we need to make sure that all that stuff's planned for the day that he's going to be in.
Yeah. So, we're slackers. I'm a slacker. What can I say? But no, the important stuff is dealt with, and that's really what matters. Dinner and the show will happen no matter what. The important stuff is dealt with. I hope. Yeah. So, let's transition over to H1Z1.
Survive.
Yeah. So I'm not proud of my comments, but I unfortunately did not have a chance to play Just Survive this weekend and this week. I know a couple people have been playing. I was busy all weekend. The PAX Fairy donated $10. Buy more merch. Thanks. Yeah.
Nick's gonna get another shirt.
Yeah, great. thanks for that donation. I'm not proud of myself that I wasn't able to play. So do you want to talk about your experience with you guys had a large group Friday night, so I'll let you go ahead and then we'll cover some of the updates.
Yeah, so we played Friday night. Oops. And for me it felt very much like the experience of exactly how it was. So remember last time we played, it felt like the game had degenerated. We
played on test last time, though, to be fair.
Yeah, last night we had felt like it had actually gotten worse. This time it felt pretty much exactly the same as when we originally played. Feels like it has not, like that, it felt like the exact same experience. So they've gotten it back to that point. It is now back to like a year and a half ago, 2 years ago. And it's right there. Like it feels like that exact same game. So I don't know if that's, I mean, I guess that's progress that they've brought it back to that. But I don't know. I mean, it's a game that I still don't see the point in building a base other than just storing things. You know, that's stuff that they're going to have to keep on working on because it doesn't feel like it's any different. It just, you know, if we were looking to keep playing the same game that we played a year and a half ago, like we could go in and play right now and it would feel that way.
So was this
Melee is worse. Melee is horrible.
Yeah. Yeah. We talked about that. Now, did this game feel like it did when we were playing it at its peak, when we were playing with...
Yes, feels identical to that.
I mean, I'm not going to speak for you, but I enjoyed that time.
That's what I'm saying, is it was exactly that experience. Like, everything worked for the most part. The problem is like, when I'm sitting there and punching somebody 20 times, and I got three visible signs that something actually hit him, you know, that's not good.
And I'm not an H1Z1 apologist, clearly, if you've listened to the show anytime recently, you'll know that to be a fact. But even though the game was broken when we were playing it at its peak, and you know, and we had a lot of fun. A lot of fun. We had nothing but fun. How much of that was the game itself and how much of that was our community? I don't know. But I mean, Brian, we had a hell of a time playing that game.
Yeah, but it would be much more of a struggle now because the thing is we were filled with hopes and dreams and like everything's going to be great. Like this is the beginning, you know, this is the beginning of just a game that's going to turn into something wonderful. And like that was driving us a lot because we were looking forward to, oh, what are they going to add next? Like what's going to be new? The fact that we're at an identical point other than the melee being worse than where we're at a year and a half ago Like, we want, that would be very disheartening for me, especially a month from now, 2 months from now, 3 months from now. Maybe we'll get a trickle of a little bit of features. I just, I would get very burnt out on that. And I think that's the danger. We probably let a lot more go.
Oh, we did.
Because we were so hopeful that it was going to be something more.
Yeah. A couple comments from chat. Falcons watch. It's still bad. Now onto the next game. Saul agrees with that and says, need more Crusader Kings, which is an inside meme. And Donnie backing that up, saying it did feel the same to him as well. I mean, you had a lot of people playing. Would you have 10 people, so 8 people, something like that, maybe?
Yeah, and there's still people they were continuing to build a base and everything, but there's not a lot of longevity to that. Like, after you build the base, then what do you do?
Like, what's next? What did we do? We went around, we ran around
and destroyed everyone else and ran everyone else off of every single server we ever went on. That's what we did.
Yeah, I mean, we were so badass that, I mean, we just everyone.
Now the servers are all dead. Like, there's not people on there to run off even.
Now, what about the community that you guys found? What's the story on that? Because there's another group of players that you ran into.
And I didn't really get into that, so I can't really comment. Okay. I mean, I joined the group and they're playing, but I didn't really hang out with them. They were running around and doing some base raiding and things like that. So there are still people playing it, but it's down to some, a few groups really doing this. I think it's going to slowly build up over time. But right now the server populations have been low, and I think they're just finally starting to build up again. Because if we could get everybody playing again, we would quickly empty a server after a couple of weeks. And so, that's great. Like, for a week, we would have a full server. Maybe we could find a high pop server and be like, hey, look at this. But, what can we do other than destroy other people's bases, which is what they resorted to? That's what they were doing. They were going and destroying people's bases and taking their stuff. And you do that enough, and there's no more player base.
Yeah.
We'd go back into the exact same cycle we had before. I just don't know. How do you fix it? Like, there's no fix for that other than them adding more content, something else to do. Because the base raiding, the bases are so poor right now that there's not really, everybody does offline raiding.
Yeah.
Because you do stand around the top and shoot at people, like, there's not really a mechanic to have a gunfight back and forth other than people poking their heads up every once in a while.
Yeah. But I mean, I guess you could say the same thing about Ark. This is why Brian and I made the suggestion to Jens Erik from Conan Exiles that there needs to be some type of interface between a mobile device or an email or a push notification system between that and the game. Because you only raid when people are offline, because it's the only time you successfully raid, for the most part. This is an issue with every game that has raiding ever. Is that there's, unless you have a group of people like we used to have that played, we'd have somebody logged in any time of the day for the most part. Somebody would always be on the server or setting alarms to get up and do crazy stuff like that. So I'm not really sure.
Don't think they're really sure.
No.
I don't think they're really sure where to go from here. I think they're just trying to get it working, put some bases in there. But they've got to figure out their end game. They've got to figure out what they want to do. PHE's making a comment about, look at Conan. What's the end game of that? Like, the giant monsters don't really do, they don't really do, I guess, what their people were expecting. That's a thing that these games have to figure out. Like, what do you do once you have all the stuff, once you have the base?
Here's the thing. Do they have to?
These games have people sit there and just become troll communities?
No, I disagree. If you have an active player base of people that play the game that are dealing with their base, and I mean, H1Z1 is, I think, a bad example to say, oh, this is what you should aim for, because it's a troll community. But you look at the ARK community, while there are trolls, I mean, those big groups, Brian, still play. I guarantee you the people that wiped our asses off that server a year and a couple months ago are still actively playing that game. And what are they doing? They're just maintaining.
They're not playing there. They got wiped, but...
Whoever wiped them, I'm sure, is still playing.
Yeah.
So it's just...
That's the thing is, though, that game, Ark is able to maintain and keep.
But that's the thing is, and they don't need some end story thing for people. I mean, I'll tell you.
He was talking about Conan, but...
I'm just saying in general.
Ark, I think, has created enough content they've kept ahead of it.
Exactly.
But the thing is, we've run into the same thing of, you know, you have a couple of people running that whole server. They're, you know, those servers realistically are dead. People are sitting around being like, oh, look, there's some new people on the server, you know, for a little bit. Like, they get excited when someone comes on, but then they destroy them.
Yeah.
You know, that's still not even a healthy end game.
No.
It's just, it's a game end game that some people can survive in.
But it's just, I think... people, and I'm not criticizing you, Brian, specifically. I'm criticizing people as a whole. I don't think those games like Ark, like Conan, like H1Z1 are ever going to have a successful end game, because they're never supposed to end. The whole point for them is to keep you playing as long as possible. If you hit end game, you're not going to play anymore. I mean, these games make money, at least in H1Z1's case, off of selling crates, selling skins. Why the hell would they want you to have... why the hell they want you to get to the end of their game? It's not a single-player game.
They've got
to
figure out a way to cycle the end. Like, make it so that something goes back. And like with
but
Conan,
how many times is that fun?
The destroying of the base.
But how many times is that fun? What, twice? Three times max? And then you never play again.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think I want an end game in the game... If Ark had an end game, I can guarantee you 40,000 people wouldn't be playing it every day. If there was an end game,
But the thing is how do they counter all these people just sitting there now having the biggest base and doing nothing?
Well, there is ways to counter that with server wipes and get active regular server wipes.
They got to have a way to counter that.
I mean, there's an easy way to counter.
If it is wiping, like as I was saying with Conan, going and pretty much using big bosses to wipe bases, like whatever it is, they need to come up with a way that kind of scales back. It doesn't have to totally reset because people get frustrated with that. But something that kind of keeps...
I mean, what about a 6 or 7 month wipe period? I mean, I think that would solve Ark's problem.
Yeah, but they're so far in right now. The thing is, they need to have a final release.
And then
say,
do the
now,
wipe.
Now here's
yes.
the wipe schedule.
Well, exactly.
Because they're going to lose tons of people just saying, all right, we're wiping all your progress. But if they say, hey, we're releasing, this is final release. Now we're going to wipe it so that we have the end version of the games on the world servers. There you go.
Yeah, and somebody's bringing up WoW, Jay Delore. I disagree with these kinds of games, and WoW are not the same kind of games.
Well, but if you look at the end game, that they run into the same pitfalls. And what does WoW do to do it? They release an expansion which makes everything before it irrelevant.
Yep. And how much money and how many copies do they sell? Thousands, hundreds of thousands,
millions.
Exactly. It's inevitable with these games. They want and they need a consistent player base.
But the thing is, they're constantly having to keep ahead of it. They're constantly having to add new content.
And Ark's done a good job with that.
The end, and then they sit there and they've Ark. WoW is the master of keeping. Used to be the master of keeping people playing, but the problem is, you keep people playing hours and hours every day. People are going to hit the end, and they're going to hit that ceiling. They'll be like, "What's next?" And so they just release a whole bunch of new content. But Ark can't do that. Like these games can't do that. And so how are they going to counter that when you have people, if you make a game that's good enough to where people are playing it constantly for years, how do you counter them hitting that ceiling and just sitting there and being like, what's next? You have to have something eventually.
Yeah. And I think this can be, I think it's a server wide wipe event. They need to essentially, in my opinion, with Ark, they need to have like a purge. Where it's just like,
but remember what I was saying with my idea. What if the Ark world is just one world that you can go into, and they got it away from being that's your one thing. Like they created other environments.
I get that, but I mean that's I'm sure that they're not working on 25 other worlds behind the scenes.
No, but I'm saying, like, okay, they viewed Ark as successful, and then they moved on. Now they're going to do a world, something else.
Well, then the game won't ever be out of early access. I mean, that
Ark will be. Now they'll give them something else to work on. Because what are they going to do once they've released all their content?
But that's the thing. What are they going to do? I'm sure they will do another game, but I don't think
if they want to kind of go off with the success of Ark.
I think that they could. I think Wildcard, if Wildcard was to say, hey, we're making a XYZ game, here's early access, $30, I'd buy it in a heartbeat, even if I wasn't interested, because they make quality products.
Yeah.
But I don't think the end-all, be-all for survival games is to have some crazy, massive end game that you eventually hit. I don't think
to keep people from hitting it. That's the thing, is they need to figure out a way to keep them from hitting the end.
Possibly.
And that's the problem, is there's no, in Ark, there's nothing keeping people. There's people that are at the end right now. They have everything you can get in Ark.
Yeah. Well, maybe not with the tech tier.
And they're sitting there just flying around.
Yeah.
Taming another dinosaur.
But
they're breeding another dinosaur.
All right then, Brian, my question, why are they still playing?
Because they're worried that if they stop playing, they're going to lose that stuff that they had.
Why do they care? Exactly. That's a success.
You've got the five people that still care.
That's a success. Why are we not playing H1Z1 right now? Because it sucked. There was nothing to do. I mean, Ark constantly gives you stuff to do. You've got to constantly feed things. You've got to constantly...
But you can't have a full group of people doing that. That's why it comes down to those last few people that are still the suckers willing to log in.
I wouldn't say the 40,000 people concurrently playing are five people from every clan.
I'm not saying all that, but I'm saying those people in the official servers that are sitting there at the top, there's only a few people left because it turns into them just a huge grind.
Yeah. There's a certain
mindset of people that can do that.
Yeah, and I think it's successful. I mean, PH is saying that there's...
Ark is successful overall, yes.
PH is still saying that there's still 5.5 million people playing WoW. I mean, what the hell are those people doing but grinding away?
But there's constantly new content, and they have a ton of side games and tons of other things you can do.
Yeah.
There's PvP.
I get it. I just don't think an end game is necessary for all of these open world survival games, that the goal is to keep you playing as long as possible. I guarantee you Ark's numbers will take a hit when they do a server wipe.
Do you think they really care at this point if the numbers drop?
I'm not sure. It depends if they're working on another game.
The only reason they would really need to keep the same numbers is so they can use that as a springboard to their next game.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see. Now that we've gotten way off of H1Z1, you want to do the raffle and then we'll cover H1Z1's news?
Yes. All right. So congratulations, Saul. I will send you a link here that'll let you redeem that game. Congratulations.
Yes. Congratulations. All right.
We didn't really get into this yet.
We didn't even cover it yet.
So they deleted their...
Yeah, that's fine, because I think it's covered in here.
Because the next one has it in there. That's weird. I just thought it was funny they deleted their post with the patch notes.
So this is what we do have. We have, for the first in a while, I think since December, actually, we have an H1Z1 Just Survive producers update. I'm going to skim through this because we've already talked about a lot of this stuff. This is from Landon Montgomery, of course, the CEO behind Just Survive. He's the one that's kind of seeing that show. I'm going to read this verbatim here. We've been heads down and hard at work since the last update in late December. I'm happy to announce that we're rolling out an extensive quality of life patch today that addresses several issues, over 100 individual fixes and new features. They've also establishing a new lighting baseline for the game as we continue to polish the weather system. I realize a lot of people in the community are hoping to see new features and systems introduced into this update, especially after watching the community outbreak stream we did last week. But as we said during the show, we're not quite there yet. There is an intersection point ahead of us where we'll finally be able to flip to our second part of this whole thing that they've had. Fix it now, cool later. And they've made this point for months. And now we're actually seeing it in effect, right? We're seeing this oh yeah, hey, we're going to patch all these things because the game sucks. They're finally getting into this. They still have a lot of work to do on the foundation of Just Survive before they can make good on the plans that they have for you. For example, a new map, new base building, all of that junk. So that's essentially the premise behind this. And of course, they're looking for feedback, and you know, thanks again for your continued patience and support. So a couple of the kind of the game updates here is that there's a new lighting and light emitter effect. There are darker nights, and then the interiors are better looking with the lit emitter effects as well. So to keep your flashlight handy, lighting was always really weird. And
the lighting is pretty crazy right now. If you look at the people in the game, like they have a crazy like metallic shine to them. It's like they're sweating profusely at the moment, and there's have a shine all over them. And then it gets really dark, and it seems to stay dark for 3/4 of the time. So like, it seems like it's daytime for a short period of time, and then it has like 3/4 of its night, and then it goes back to day eventually. But it was frustrating with it being dark so much.
Yeah. At one point though, wasn't it the opposite? Like it was always day.
They found that people logged off at night, and so they actually made it so that it was mostly day. And I don't know if for testing they want to see the light effects, so they've made it night more, but it seems like it's night an awful lot at the moment.
Interesting. There's also a new zombie navigation system, or you know, some type of AI for the zombies. They are smarter and move more aggressively, which is good. They've introduced some new servers. I'm not really sure why, because
these are new low loot servers.
I get that, but nobody's playing the game. There's like less than 3,000 people playing the game.
People are more playing. They're getting higher numbers of people. And maybe it's just because it's something new, right?
Yeah.
They're getting higher numbers of people that are playing these low loot servers than the regular servers. Because it feels more like a survival game.
Yeah, so interesting with that. It's called, there's one called
Deadwood. One thing is there's ammo everywhere. That's the one thing we ran into is constant ammo. Well,
that was never the case.
30, 40, 50, 60 people running around with 89mm rounds.
Yeah, which was always the biggest issue with H1Z1 was that or there's like a crazy duping bug where people are able to do that.
Yeah, they have the spawn rates of ammo really messed up at the moment in the game. And so I think that people are getting a little more normal experience on the low loot servers.
Okay, gotcha. So the two new low loot servers are Deadwood, which is in the US, and Sparta, which is in the EU, and those are both, of course, low loot. Visitor permissions are now automatically granted to anyone who successfully enters a code on a base door. So by default, anybody that you give the code to will now have visitor permissions.
So they should be able to like lay
a bed,
or you know, whatever.
Something like whatever the visitor permissions are, which it would be nice to actually at some point, of course, down the road, be able to configure visitor permissions for every base. That'd be nice to see. Lead pipes now melt down into lead alloy. Cooking containers now have maximum bulk limits. Change the way ammo spawns to reduce clumping. And then chain link fences can now be destroyed with melee weapons, hatchets, knives, you know, axes, all that fun stuff. Some performance updates as well. Some exploit fix, bug fixes. There's a lot of stuff in here, as Landon said, over 100 individual fixes and or new features.
But I think that's important. I'm glad they listed out a lot of things rather than saying, "And we fixed various bugs."
Yeah. Now
that annoys me like no other.
So do you think that H1Z1 Just Survived, Brian, from you played it. Do you think that's heading? You think it's about to be heading in the right direction? You think they're starting to turn around
with the new map that they're planning on doing? I'm assuming that's going to be better than the existing map.
I would hope.
With improved base building, I think that's a good start. Right. That's the problem, though. Are they viewing that as the end, or are they viewing that as the start? And for me, that would need to be a good start. I haven't heard where they're planning on going after this. I would hope that they're kind of revisiting the whole, this is just a zombie survival game, because, well, they've taken a little bit too long here
It's not 2014. This, yeah.
It's no longer 2014. Like survival, zombie survivals are no longer the hot thing. Like you guys are just start. It's equivalent of you just starting to develop one right now, 4 years too late. You know what I'm saying?
It's like me coding websites in all HTML and offering that.
Yeah,
as a service.
I got this cool thing called HTML now, and then we can, you know, make some websites for you.
Yeah, and again, that's
some pictures I made in Paint.
And here's the thing, Brian. I don't think you're not slamming Daybreak for that, no. But that's just reality.
But they need to revisit. Like, is this going to be a survival game? I think that they'd be much better off revisiting whether or not there's a point to the zombie part. Like, they never really told the story anyway with the whole Karama and all that. I think that they don't even really need that anymore. Like, move on and figure out
that's quite
extreme. You know what I'm saying? They almost could say we're going to reinvent Just Survive because it's Just Survive. It's not a zombie survival game. It doesn't need to be H1Z1. Yeah. No, it could be that a virus wiped out the population and now people are surviving, right? They don't need zombies. Zombies have never been an important part of this game. And so I think that if they really were trying to be ahead of it, because by a year and a half down the road, when they finally get something that's closer to releasing, zombie survival is going to be even more dead. They really need to look at what point, like, how are we going to release something that's relevant when we're finally at the point of putting new features into this game?
Well, and I think that's the big question is, we look at the base game right now, and you say it's the exact experience that it was
a year and a half ago,
which was not a great experience, but was a playable experience. We played the living hell out of
it. It was enjoyable.
Hundreds of hours we logged with our group into that game. A year and a half ago, we were here. For the last year and a half, we've been down here. We're finally back to that point.
Yep.
The question is...
And by the time they start building it up, But where are they going?
But exactly. That's my question. Is this 2019 that we're looking at an H1Z1 game? We're in March next week, or week in a couple days. I mean, we are already vastly we're approaching spring of 2017.
Yeah.
I mean, there's unfortunately time is of the essence with a zombie survival game in 2017, because
and the thing
nobody
is,
cares.
A lot of this came from the Walking Dead hype,
the DayZ hype,
the Walking Dead hype. Like, people were really feeling it for that. And Walking Dead is winding down. I mean, it's still a popular show, but you're not getting the whole newness and this is a fresh, you know, feel. Like, the zombies even in that are pure catalysts. They just move the story along. The people are the catalysts in those shows, and in this, they're trying to make a zombie survival game. And I just don't think that they're going to be relevant anymore if they release and say, "Hey, look, we're finally ready to come out of alpha with this zombie survival game."
Now, if they make it more survival oriented with PvP and raiding and stuff like that, and have
zombies in there,
exactly,
it needs to be the minimal focus. They need to really focus on other areas. Up until now, what has been, other than the gunplay, what is the point?
That's a valid question.
You know what I'm saying? Like, base building has been minimal.
Yeah,
really,
but
it's been crap.
I mean, what we've seen from the new base building system looks to be an arc-like base building system, something where you can do crazy stuff.
I think that they need to make it to where there are zombies in here, but the point is, look at the cool base raiding stuff. Look at the cool base building stuff we have. Look at the beautiful world we have. Look at the crafting experience we provide. Look at the world that you can explore and you can do whatever they come up with, what it is that you're supposed to be able to do in this game. They have to figure it out.
Yeah.
I'm not going to write the book for them. Like, they need to sit down and have serious meetings of, where are we going to be?
Yeah, it begs the question. All right, you're finally back at square one in early 2017. Where are you in early 2018? And if the answer is, we've just rolled out our new map and we're working on base building, that's why are you wasting your time, in my opinion. I hate to be this either, you know, do or die kind of thing with this, but in my opinion, they don't have another 2 years to just sit around and attempt to make a game. I mean, this game needed to be out now anyway. And it's not. It's not even close. They don't. They have a new map that's not even, from what all the knowledge we have, is just starting to in infant stages. It's not. It's not even. It's not even crawling yet.
And there's no hint that there's any, you know, really cool new features, like anything that's gonna be like, oh, here's a surprise of anything coming. Like,
it's just baseball.
There's no hint of that. Like, it would have been by now. We would have seen. They would have spilled the beans at this point if there was something cool. That's like, hey, we got something we're holding back. There's nothing more held back. Like, we know exactly what the game is. They're not, you know, they're purely working on just trying to make the game work. And, you know, I don't want to go into that. That is a whole nother issue, but that's the frustrating thing, is they really need to think ahead on this one, because it's going to be, as you said, another 2 years of them just trying to even become relevant again. And then they're going to be like, oh, we missed it. And I'd love for them to be successful, but they've got to do some serious thinking and aim for an end goal for once.
I'm going to speak for Brian and myself now. We want nothing more than for this game to be successful. I mean, this is the game that started all of this, you know, right now. We want nothing more than this game to be successful, but, you know, and it's great that they're improving, but you look back at the last year and you have to wonder what was happening?
How would you show up for work for a year straight and accomplish nothing? That's what I want to know.
Yeah. And again,
I mean, how is that
here's the thing. You're not just
someone lift their head up and say, I've showed up to work for a year and I've accomplished nothing. Like, what are we doing?
Yeah. And
I would get pissed at myself. I'd be like, I feel like I'm wasting my time doing nothing in this place. I need to move on. Maybe that's why so many people quit.
And again, this isn't the H1Z1 bash fest. This isn't H1Z1 sucks. This isn't H1Z1 needs to die. This isn't some Reddit troll thing. This is the reality of the situation, the reality of a game that has been in development for over 2 years and is at the point that they were at in the first 8 months of their game. I mean, it took them a year and a half to be where they were 8 months, you know, the first 8 months of the game. Like, there's some major problems.
So Falcon, he brings up, he says, everyone's just making a paycheck while it lasts. And I think that's kind of some of the mindset of the game industry.
That's people in general. Is it not?
Yeah. But I've been watching a streamer on Twitch, who's a guy who was in the game development industry for a long time. And he says, No. Different guy. And that's what he said, is most of these people in the gaming industry is just you try to get as much out of it as you can while it's there, because, you know, game industry is short lived, you know, so these guys come to these jobs and they're like, oh, I'm going to get as much money out of this as I can until this project folds or they move funding to another thing or, you know, whatever it is. And I think that that's just the mindset of the gaming industry. And I think that that is sad, because the fact that people can show up to work for so long and not really care whether or not anything comes of their labor, that to me is sad that they have gotten to that point. Because how could you work there all that time and never say anything?
Yeah, and I think part of that is why we see success with indie games like Ark. They started Ark from nothing, and they had a vested interest. I mean, when you start something from nothing and money, for example, with Infection, money was never I'm not comparing our podcast to Ark or H1Z1, but there was never the hint of, oh, this is going to be crazy successful and we're going to be loaded. The goal was just to produce content that people wanted to watch. And we succeeded at that. But again, that's the difference between a job where your goal is to just make as much money as possible and actually being ingrained in the project you're working on. And here's the thing. I'm not going to criticize people for just showing up and collecting a paycheck, because you've got to do what you have to do to live your life. And it's a shame that it's tolerated. I guess the hostility here should be on the company, not the employees that those people.
It's a shame that that can happen. That nobody in any of the levels had a position to feel like they could even say it, I would assume. Because let's say you're the guy down, next down below Smedley. I mean, I'm assuming Smedley left because
he was kicked out.
He was kicked out, but I'm sure that he said, we need to do something different. And they're like, well, we don't want to put any more money into it. Whatever it is, that led to that. But somebody at that level of management should have said, you know what, we're turning our wheels. We need to be more efficient, or we need to change this up. Someone at that level, it's not the job. It's not the intern's job. It's not the guy who's in charge of programming, physics in the engine. It's not his job to come up with that. It's the job of the people that are in upper level management. That's why they're supposedly getting paid more.
Yeah.
Is to be the person who says, you know what? I have a vision for this. We need to go this direction.
Yeah.
And the fact that there were zero people in that company kind of shows you what the upper level management has to be like there, because not a single person was willing to step out.
Well, and ideally Landon Montgomery is the person that is cracking the whip.
But he's new. That's the thing. Well, he wasn't around.
Well, that's the problem. He's literally been around since November, October.
So why is a person who's coming in the first weeks having the person who's having to say, look around and say, you got holes in the ship. We're sinking here. Why have none of you bothered to plug the holes or even ask why there's holes in the ship?
Yeah. So, it's interesting. It's interesting.
It's a very interesting talk, but it's highly frustrating. And if any of them ever listen to this, they'll be pissed off that I'm saying it. But, honestly.
Yeah. It's,
I'd love for them to come in and try to defend it, but how could you?
I mean, who knows if somebody at Daybreak
that's the thing, is they could come in. It couldn't be a current employee unless they're willing to admit how bad the company was. I'm talking about Daybreak. Unless they're willing to admit how bad the company was, and they feel like they're in enough of a direction to say, we're not in that direction anymore and we're going somewhere different, then they're willing to talk about the past. But I really doubt that they'd be willing to do something like that.
If somebody from Daybreak is listening to this, which I'm sure they're not anymore after we've been critical on this game for a year, years, get in touch with us, because I'm genuinely curious about this, and I'm not just sitting here
I don't want to hear the marketing's version of it. That's the thing. We've heard the marketing's version of everything.
Yeah.
I don't need to hear the canned phrase.
Soon TM.
Having someone come in and say, realistically, here's where we're at, and finally, we've been able to overcome that. I would love to hear that with this company. I just don't know if they're there.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Real talk with Brian and Nick. A new segment coming soon to your Infection Podcast. they had this update today on the 21st. I'm just going to go through a couple of the quick things at the beginning. This is a large... actually, it's not. Never mind. There's the bug patch from the 14th and from the 21st. So on the 14th is the stuff that we just covered in that latch patch note. And they also did a small one today as well. And they fixed a couple of things here. The first one, new queuing adjustments eliminates the failed server joining issue some users were experiencing. Apartment/tower stairwells stuck/stutter issues have now been fixed. Steam inventory items now appear the next time you log into the game. Any missing items will be restored into your Steam library. Wolf speed balance. The wolves have been slowed down a bit. That the AI navs have changed. So because the AIs were so crappy, the AI navigation was so crappy, they had to make the wolves faster. Now that the navigation is a little bit better, it doesn't get caught on, pebbles on the ground, slow it down. Yep. So it's a little more manageable. Crash to desktop fixes, which are common. The Deadwood US server has been renamed to Dismay to eliminate confusion with the new low-loot Deadwood. So there was a Deadwood server in the US.
They already had a Deadwood server. They never bothered to look at that.
ongoing
let's server, but let's not look at the master server list.
Ongoing fair play exploits and countermeasures and anti-cheat logging tools They're continuing to crank away at other issues, and we'll update you once again once we have something to show, which that line is very important. I'll read it to you one more time. We will continue to crack away on other issues, and this is the key point, update again once we have something to show. That's key. That's key, because I don't want bug fixes, fixed crash to desktops, fixed many issues. I want to see things.
I want to see actual in-depth notes of here's look exactly at
the,
what
look
they
at the, I mean, I can show this on the stream real quick. I mean, look at this update on the 14th. This is a legit update. This is the first legitimate
first
update
one
we've
they've
seen
been a long, long
since
time.
December.
Yep.
I mean, it's almost 4 months ago, three and a half months ago. It's been a long time. It was early December when that patch came out. So it's interesting to see. So that's H1Z1.
I think that gets us pretty current now. And with Just Survive, there wasn't really anything new. It seems like it's pretty much just going along
yes.
at its normal pace. So, so they added on Valentine's Day a new
patch. I forgot to ask. Yeah. How was your Valentine's Day? How was not doing the show, Brian?
it was fine. My wife and I, we had some food and watched a movie, and
there you go.
She didn't have to work. So that was good.
It worked out.
Yeah, so this is patch number 46. As I said, it was released on Valentine's Day. And so in honor of Valentine's Day, they released a new female character. So that is now playable in the game. And so if you go through the character setup options on the main menu screen, you can select her. It says if you already have a character on the server, you must die. And then you can use the suicide function and then exit to the main menu before respawning. So if you die, exit, go back in, and you'll be able to pick the female from there. So another thing they've added is says additional game rules that have been requested by server administrators. However, some of these settings do not represent our vision for survival games. Nonetheless, as acknowledgement of the customization requests, they've been added but are only supported on whitelisted servers. So the entire Falcon system is explained at the end of this patch notes. Factions. So they're adding factions to the game, but it's not part of their main. They're just adding the ability to do it.
Interesting.
So the factions can serve multiple scenarios like PvE factions, role playing, players/mutants/animals and bases have each already been assigned to a built-in faction, and the damage caused between those factions is controlled in detail by damage multiplier matrix. So you can go through and set that certain factions receive no damage. So So anyways, that's something they're adding, but they don't want that. They don't consider that miscreated. They're just adding the ability to do it for servers to do their own things on their own private servers. They've added some new chat commands. So you can do uptime, ping, restart, server. So these are all with exclamation points, and then pop if you want to see how many people are on the server right now. They've added some more server settings. They've things for whitelisting on servers. Now base building, part damage colors have been reintroduced. So parts should darken at each 25% of damage caused to them. They made the tiki torch light more subtle. The bronze gnome added. So you can have a bronze, silver, and a gold gnome now. Any clan member interacting with the base will reset the despawn timer. So they have a despawn timer where things will disappear. So if you touch it, any clan member touches it, so that's a good way to make it so old bases do eventually go away.
Yes.
And then they went through and adjusted some things. Like they added rear cargo lights to the 5-ton truck. So you can hit T and it'll shine the lights out the back of that. Added damage, our arrow damage was updated to use our kinetic-based damage system, so it's now consistent with bullets. Potential fixes, they added a new reflex sight for the AT-15. They decreased the basic flashlight spawn chance, so those won't be as many in the world now. Adjusted the ratio of drink to food items since several drinks can be refilled, so there's going to be less drinks compared to food now. They increased the spawn chance of the lug wrench since it's the only item that can be used to repair vehicles now. Torch no longer sets player on fire when not lit. Now the map, They added a new area north of Woodhaven with road access to Hayward. So that's cool. They're still adding to the map, which I like. You can now access the river by Horseshoe Beach to the ocean. So you can use a boat to go all the way up and down the river there. They updated the Shire Swamp area, various other minor fixes, tweaks around the world. They moved a weapon spawner that was impossible to get to. And then they fixed the rain occluder in the single story house. So no longer rains, even though there's a roof over your head. Other than that, they fixed textures, updated animations, things like that. So I think that pretty much covers a decent sized patch. I mean, there's actually some really good things in there. A whole new character. The fact they put factions. I mean, if you're looking for a little bit of a different experience in game, you run your own server, that might be something to play with. Just see. You can have up to 4 additional factions can be defined. So you can set, the server admin can fully customize the factions by turning them on and off, the damage amounts, faction names, faction, you know, can be based on Steam IDs. If you want certain people's Steam IDs to be in a faction, you can set all that up.
Gotcha.
So they have player factions, environment factions, and then bases.
That's cool.
So, yeah, so that'll be interesting. That is the newest version. Their 46th patch. So they put a little bit of time into each one. The next one, how are we doing on time, actually?
We're at about an hour and 35 minutes.
So we've got a little over 15 minutes to go. All right.
Yeah, we got 15, 20 minutes.
Okay, so one thing I wanted to make a note of, if you could go to Life is Futile.
Yeah.
So this is something they put out a new video for the MMO. So Life is Futile, the game that we know of, was really just a way of funding their MMO.
Yes.
So a lot of people had a question, well, what is this Life is Futile, the actual game? And they had another one where it was like kind of a base building piece, but they were kind of just two pieces that they were they're making for the MMO that they put out as separate games. So if you want to play the video, it's just kind of showing some things off inside of the MMO Life is Futile. And then there's a comparison that we could run through really quick.
Okay, cool. All right. This has always been a very interesting concept for me. The idea that this is a survival game to make an MMO.
So they're using the survival game to kind of come up with the mechanics
to fund the MMO.
Because it's tough to release a full MMO at the gate that works.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
So they released. If you look at Life is Futile, your own, and if you can pull up your, you know, the comparison on your side, I feel like the game has 60. So you get to go up like their thing. So they have 64 players on a server in that game. The MMO is going to be 10,000 plus players on a single world. The map for Life is Futile, your own, is 3x3 kilometers. In the MMO sandbox, it's going to be a pre-generated 21x21K. So that's a huge map, and it says it can be stretched almost endlessly at later stages. So pretty much a limitless size map. So the amount of worlds, they're going to have these now be in regions, not just people hosting their own private servers. It'll be persistent in that, you know, these will last for years. They won't be resetting the world. So it says it creates its own living and breathing history created by the players. And that's one interesting thing about this is you create castles, you create the world of Life is Futile. And it says gameplay, one cool core rule set that will be maintained by Life is Futile development team rather than having right now the Life is Futile Your Own has a bunch of different speeds for progression. And, you know, people set things on their own servers because it's a very difficult game. And then it'll have a full scale guild system, guild battles, a siege system, because you can create your own huge base. Like the thing is this has a really cool system for making a whole castle. Like if you have a big group of people, you claim an area of land and you actually make a giant castle. So they'll have a whole siege system so you can try to, you know, break into people's castles. And then it's also going to have a lot of mini games in it, you know, for like trade and politics, a whole bunch of other things going on the side, which, you know, adds to it. You know, giving people things to do other than just going and raiding other people's bases, which I'm, you know, always talking about. But this, they started at the very beginning of this year doing the closed beta test for this. You can buy into it. You know, it gets expensive if you wanted to be into that. But if you have Life is Futile Your Own before this was released, you actually get access to the main MMO.
So do you have access to
that? Gives you a license to the MMO. I don't have access to the beta yet.
No, I mean, do you, will you get this for free?
So when they release, I will. Yeah, I have this game. So when they release to the MMO, I get a free account.
I feel like I own this game as well.
Are you sure? I don't know if you would.
I don't think I ever played it though. I think it was another game you conned me into buying.
I've been playing it. It's a very difficult game.
I feel like I own
very
this.
Slow progression, but if you're looking at an MMO type of a game, like you want really slow progression.
Oh, of course.
It needs to last over years.
Yeah.
And I think that they've hit a mechanic in here that is a truly hardcore survival. They've done a really good job. I think if they pull off this, it could be a really cool game.
I agree. God, it's such a change. The question is,
I like huge worlds, and like you can get a horse and just ride around to discover stuff.
Are they going to keep your Life is Futile Your Own alive? Or is that eventually going to be dead?
I'm pretty sure they will. Yeah. Because I know. I think they're going to keep that going.
Oh, okay. So you won't just be screwed.
It's not like you lose it. Yeah.
Okay.
Cool. That's still going to be there. But they're looking this, at by releasing the way. Into the full MMO.
I do not own this, by the way. I thought I did.
It's usually like $30. This is a game that I say wait until it's on. They don't put it on sale very often. So people get mad about that. But when the Steam sale comes around, put it on your watch list. When the Steam sale comes around, if they lower this, like this is one of the two times per year that they lower it.
I have put so many games on my watch lists from mostly Saul Goodman recommendations that every day I get an email. Steam, an item on your wish list. Sound like, why is this even on my wish? Why did I add this? It's just every day there's a new sale.
Saul got me to play a new game.
Yes.
And so I've been playing Crusader Kings, and it is... It is a ridiculous game. It is fun,
but
though.
Why
it's
would you
very,
play Civ?
Very difficult.
You said you don't play Civ. You play Crusader Kings.
I figured I'd try it. You can do multiplayer. I have Civ. I just have never really played it that much.
You should get Civ 6, and you can play with us.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see. I don't know. I've got so many games right now. I've been very persistent. Like if I can just get a couple of games, like some of these games that I've been trying to get back into. I played all of them this week, a little bit. And I just trying to get to where I can get a little bit of time into each of these because it's like Life is Futile takes a commitment. Elite Dangerous takes a commitment. You know, those are pretty big games. And you're barely touching the surface when you play them, and that frustrates me.
I recommend you buy Civ 6 if you want a game that doesn't ever touch the surface.
Yeah.
Civ 6. God, we've branched off greatly from.
So that's the thing I knew I wanted to talk about that.
Okay.
The Forest has a new patch, which we can go into later. Rust has a new patch. We Happy Few is not time sensitive, so we could cover that next week.
All right,
that'd be totally fine.
Let's do Rust.
Let's do Rust. It is more time sensitive. And I'll have another one next week.
And this is actually a pretty big update as well. Not a big update in terms of like crazy things, but new content. In the past, I believe it's the past 3 weeks, we have had new content consistently. So this is the Rust Dev Blog episode. This is the Rust Dev Blog number 148, and here's Shadowfrax with the latest.
Greetings, survivors and friends. I'm Shadowfrax. It's another week in Rust, and the push to bring yet more items out of the depths of
Concept Limbo
continues, first of all, with something that should make retail work in Rust a far safer profession, the Metal Shopfront. Costing 300 Metal Frags to craft, this is the new big brother of the wooden version, the interface to which was, to be honest, a little bit too ventilated to be called risk-free, and it actually comes complete with bulletproof glass. Players can access the inventory from either side and insert whichever items they wish to trade. Once both parties have accepted, the dirty deal is done and goods are deposited in the appropriate inventories. Because you can't spell trust without rust, however, if someone tries any last-minute sleight-of-hand shenanigans by hitting cancel or modifying the inventories in any way, then the trade will be nullified. So hopefully, this mitigates any potential exploits. I did mention that the screen was bulletproof, didn't I? Well, to go with that, we now have proper decals for when shooting glass, along with new particle effects and sounds. Another item this week which doesn't have any functionality beyond storage yet is this, the refrigerator. Concepted, funnily enough, almost exactly 1 year ago, this rusty appliance of science costs 75 metal frags, and as I speak, it's only possible to store food and drink items inside. Now, as we all know, fridges are useful for two things. One, keeping body parts fresh, and two, surviving nuclear blasts. And so I'm pretty sure that in the next couple of weeks, we'll see one of these two needs start to arise in-game. To be fair, until now, there's been far too much salt flying around for food preservation to be any kind of an issue, but it seems that this is soon to be on the cards. And I know it's wishful thinking, but I hope this one day leads to pies in Rust, although I don't see them hanging around long enough to go off if I'm on the server. It's worth mentioning here that soon we should also start to see more decorative items popping up for use in our bases, including some for camouflage, storage, and comfort. And intriguingly this week, there was even mention of rugs over on Twitter. Not sure whether that's bearskin or Newman skin, but we shall just have to wait and see. Testing out in the wild over the past week has revealed the need for one or two adjustments to the vending machine. Namely, sneaky players can no longer use free look to access the rear from the front. Q no longer closes the menu, which caused big problems when trying to type in high quality metal. There's a vending busy panel, and the sound when purchasing an item is server side and should now be heard by everyone. So buyer beware. As well as this, you can only place them on foundations now. Using one resets decay, much like opening and closing a door, and you can no longer lock them. Instead, anyone can use the admin panel if they can access the tradesman's entrance. Icons now show the skin of the item being sold. The display screen on the front cycles through images of whatever wares are for sale, along with the price, and if a machine is empty, then not only will it display a big X to indicate such and avoid wasting your precious time, but those with building privilege will also be able to rotate them. Very handy if you've made a mistake. In other changes this week, the semi-auto pistol got a smallish nerf with a slight movement penalty to recoil and a larger aim cone to make them less effective at longer range. The Python's damage increased by 18%, fires a bit faster and is cheaper to craft, and the semi-auto rifle's damage also went up by 15%. Explosive damage to walls should now no longer accidentally, or maybe even deliberately, destroy stuff like tool cupboards and storage boxes that are behind them. And not only can you now finally repair bear traps, but if you have building privilege, you can pick up triggered ones and place them elsewhere. If you've gone anywhere near the pre-release branch lately, then you will have noticed that it's currently suffering from an acute case of zombie apocalypse. And no, before you start foaming at the mouth and spewing hate in the comments, this doesn't mean the undead are due to make a reappearance in Rust, but rather these are simply a test to see how the new AI system works. I'm still debating whether those things on the front are supposed to be arms or just very pointy square boobs, but what they lack in appearance they make up for by demonstrating how the new AI allows for proper navigation without teleporting up and down steep hills or walking through walls. Apart from optimization, I think this is the biggest bugbear that you chaps have. Talking of which, Gary has also been looking into ways of making animal movement more realistic. The animation playback speed currently doesn't match the entity movement speed, which leads to the occasional moonwalking bear on ice effect and hurts everyone's retinas in the process. This video shows how animation will be linked to the ground speed and as a byproduct also makes the whole process simpler. So bonuses all round. We now have world models for virtually every item and resource in game, with only a few left to go, and potato owners will be glad to know that further to last week's changes to the lowest quality shaders, which impacted performance a bit too much for some, this has now been reversed and you can access Roblox mode once more. Hooray! Over to work in progress now, and the new foliage system is progressing nicely, although no new imagery to show you yet apart from this, and bunker room dressing is pretty much done. There's some optimization work to finish up on, but after that, word is that bunkers will also be added to other dungeons, such as the airfield and canyon sewers. A door closer is in the works, and although details are scanty at the moment, this addition won't actually be to automatically close doors behind forgetful players, as the name might imply, but rather for the creation of trading areas that includes a push bar on one side only. So think of it more like a fire escape door. More details to follow. And lastly, although we may have to wait one more week, Heartless players will soon be able to recreate a small slice of the Wizard of Oz on their servers with the inclusion of the heavy plate armor. There are still some adjustments to meshes to be made and the all-important balancing, but do expect this very soon. Leave a like and subscribe for weekly update vids and more. Come and say bonjour to me on Twitch, Twitter, Facebook, and Steam. I shall catch you all soon, but in the meantime, keep calm and stay rusty. Cheerio.
All right. Of course, those zombie AIs are. I was pretty impressed on how they were able to scale those rocks and keep up with the player in
and it'd be interesting to see how they're actually going to use that. Like, is that for the bears and the animals, or are they going
to? That seemed to be zombie specific.
Well, but it's not going to be zombies in the future. It used to be zombies originally, but they're not bringing zombies back.
No,
in the game.
No, exactly. But I mean, oh, okay, I see what you're talking about now. I don't know. It doesn't. I don't know how the animals.
So I'm just wondering where they're going to actually end up using this, other than not having bears, you know, go in weird places and things like that.
Yeah, because it doesn't really seem.
Are they going to add other type of NPCs? You know, people.
Well, and that's the question, because as of right now, there really isn't anything.
So they keep on bringing up this whole trading area. Are they going to create kind of a town where there's people and trading areas and things like that? Or is that like this purely for animals? I don't know. I mean, I don't understand the direction of this game.
No.
I can't give you a hint.
No, definitely not. All right, is Rust.
So Player Unknown, you released a new post in the last couple of days about gunplay mechanics. So they are still working on that game, trying to get the guns working smoothly. If you would like, there's that first video, kind of animated GIF on there. He's showing off just how the recoil works in like third person versus first person mode. You can see that they're pretty close.
Yeah.
If you go down there, they're talking about how you can put attachments onto weapons. And the first one is just a stock weapon, a vanilla gun. And then they show the one on the right, when that person fires, it has a compensator and a composite stock. So you can see how the
is this the first video that we're
No, the shotgun stuff? One, the first shotgun one. There you go.
Yep.
Yeah, right there. You can see how there's a much bigger spread on the first shot.
The second shot has a much
tighter clump.
Gotcha. Okay.
So as you upgrade your gun, it should bring those bullets in and give you more accurate shots.
That is very accurate. That is quite a range for all those shotgun pellets. Those pellets look way too big, though, to be honest.
they're marks.
I mean, unless you're shooting golf balls out of your shotgun. I mean, that seems a little.
Yeah, they've got to adjust the size of that.
Now, this is showing a kind of accuracy through. Through an iron sight with recoil, in reduced recoil. It's interesting to see first to the second with the trail off that you have at the top.
It says with the attachments, they said that the slight reduce in the recoil felt Yeah, because that's what they're trying to show off is with that attached. There's a slight less amount of recoil.
Yeah, which is good. This next one here is a deviation a system that which we use in hip fire and third person aim modes to simulate inaccuracy by adding your random spread. Because
when you're shooting from the hip, it doesn't like you can see when they're pretty much right equivalent right clicking. You can see how close of a grouping they're able to put. Well, so the left one is a very much a hip fire. Second one is kind of like probably zoomed in slightly, and the other one is looking right down your sights.
And this is the way it should be, because there should be a disadvantage to disadvantage of you shooting in a third person mode where the gun is a little separated from your body until you really pull
and
it
up. But that's the issue is like if we look at H1Z1, remember
I always used to.
Yeah, you'd be like, let's not. You would be like, oh, well, there's got to be some advantage to shooting down the sights. So you'd always shoot down the sights. Yeah. I'm like, no, because you actually are more accurate shooting from your reticle.
Yes.
Because there wasn't that punishment, which there should be.
Yeah. So that's.
So everyone is just shooting, you know, no one's shooting down their sights anymore. Because what would be the point? Like, well, you were the only one shooting down your sights anymore.
Yeah, exactly. Me and a couple other sorry souls. All right. Well, with that being said, we're going to have to push a couple of stories because we do still have a couple of things, of course, current players and then tip of the week that we want to cover before the show wraps up here. But we'll cover those stories next week and we'll get all that stuff covered. So do not fear. We've got a quick current players segment coming up today and we will kick it off.
Actually, first, let me do the game giveaway really quick. So we can.
I already started the music and everything. It's all ruined. It's all going to hell.
Oh, sorry. I figured we might want to do this, so we're not doing it at the very end.
This is a good call.
Otherwise, yeah, we would not be doing it. All right. So giveaway. So we're type !! giveaway in chat. And for this one, I'm giving away a copy of Day of the Tentacle. Awesome game. I actually bought this when it was first released, the enhanced edition. This game is the remastered version of a game that was made back in DOS days. I really, really enjoy this game. I've played through it, and I need to play through it again.
Is it a visual novel?
No, it is a point-and-click adventure.
It sounds like every PAX
hilarious story.
Every PAX email we've gotten so far. Hey, come check out my point and click.
Yeah. So this one is a remaster. It's an excellent story. It's a point and click adventure. Overall is overwhelmingly positive. Recent is very positive. This is a game that I purchased. You know, the one I'm giving away is from a Humble Bundle, but it's because I already purchased it all by itself. It's a really, really good game.
Bloodcore would like to know if this is an 18 plus game. Is that not?
No, but this game is hilarious. I mean, I don't want to give away the story, but it is hilarious. It's a hilarious game. Have you ever played like the old Sam and Max games?
No.
So this old Sam and Max games were other hilarious, similar style games. Like there's a bunch of comedy. It's all voice acted.
Oh,
so you don't have to read everything.
Yeah, yeah. That's what normally doesn't do it.
Reading
comedy is not funny.
It is a real fun game, and it's actually a challenging game. So yeah, Maniac Mansion was the original, you know, this is based off those characters, kind of a part two, which was a really old game as well.
That's getting a remake according to Donnie. Manic
hopefully.
Mansion. Yeah.
Yeah. So these are all old DOS games, but they went through and redid the graphics and they look really nice now. And the voice acting is still really good. So yeah, I would encourage you if you should enter for this one. If you've never played Day of the Tentacle, or a lot of these people are probably people that had played it a long time ago. This is a fun, it's
they're all
remastered.
You're all old. There you go. That's what Brian, that's what Brian's trying to say. Alrighty, let's jump into current players. We've got some very interesting numbers here with H1Z1. This is Just Survive and King of the Kill combined. Currently playing these games, 35,360. The 24-hour peak, 74,702. And the 70 peak, 80,557. H1Z1 Just Survive. Not terrible numbers with this. The current players is up about 2,000. Currently playing this, 4,242. Still not good numbers for an open world zombie survival game. 24-hour peak for this, 6,721. The 7-day peak, 8,287. King of the Kill. Brian, this is Ark. Currently playing this.
Yep.
31,118. The 24-hour peak, 67,981. And the 7-day peak, 72,288. This is an all-time high for for King of the Kill. These are Ark-like numbers. Moving on to Ark. Currently playing this, 41,277. The 24-hour peak for this, 63,835. And the 7-day, 82,351. And Miscreated. Currently playing this, still over 1,000. Currently playing that, 1,279. The 24-hour peak for this, 2,189. And the 7-day peak, 2,705. And that brings us up to date on all of our current players. So,
very good.
I'm very, very impressed with King of the Kill. I guess I need to jump back in and lose.
I actually played it earlier this week, and I died.
Maybe I'll play some tonight.
We never did announce Game of the Week. Do we want to do King of the Kill?
Sure, let's do King of the Kill.
All right, we'll do King of the Kill first, since we haven't played it for long. Sorry, some people deleted their King of the Kill accounts.
We know who that person is, and they're not maybe the most sound person.
I was acting like it was multiple people, so they wouldn't feel like they were.
Oh, no, it's one person. Yeah, it's only one person that removed the game from their Steam account.
Sorry. But yeah, we'll do King of the Kill this week.
It's an H1Z1 weekend. We're going back in time on an Infection podcast.
So not that you have to keep playing it, but we'll just do. We haven't played it in a long time.
We have not. And if it was as broken as it was, it would not have hit a 72,000 player peak 2 days ago. You don't have 72,288 people playing your game concurrently if it doesn't work. So it's got to be somewhat stable. So
yeah,
there you go.
We'll see. All right. So tip of the week is where I go through and I'll talk either about a specific game or maybe a gaming tip in general. This week, I'm actually going to be talking about Unturned, even though we're pushing that news off until next week. So this is tip of the week. All right, so Unturned. If you're having a rainy day in Unturned, I suggest that you carry an umbrella with you. One thing that the umbrella does is it keeps you more than just dry. It also works as a parachute in the game. So if you're looking at making a jump, you should probably hotkey your umbrella, and then you can land safely at any distance. So you can use it for skydiving from buildings, planes, or if you're just doing a jump that you're worried might break your legs. This would solve that, or, you know, the other ones, if you jumped out, you'd probably die. So, you also, just as a side note, you may want to hotkey some of your medical supplies while you're in the middle of that process, because in this game, you get hit by a zombie a few times, get in that panic mode. It's really difficult to get yourself bandaged up. So, but one thing you can hotkey some medical supplies, hotkey your umbrella, and most likely it will save your life. So that is tip of the week for Unturned.
Man, I loved how you opened with the having a rainy day. And, you know, it sounded like a really crappy PSA. Brian, I like it. I would like you to try to keep that trend, a really cheesy intro for every tip. I really like that. Having a rain.
I couldn't resist. I mean,
that's going to be the show title. Rainy Day. It's
Rainy
the,
Day.
Rainy Day. It's the show title. All right, you want to do our raffle and...
Yes. All right. So the winner of this is Donnie PC Games. Congratulations. Hey-o. I encourage you to check out his Twitch stream. We auto-host him, so sometimes you might see him on here when he's streaming when we are offline. So congratulations on winning Day of the Tentacle Remastered.
Yes.
Excellent game. I think you'll really enjoy it.
And if you are...
It'd be a fun game to play on stream, actually, too.
Cool. If you are a Twitch streamer that streams on a somewhat regular, non-regular basis, and you want to be on our auto host list, it's nothing sacred. But if you want to be on that list, just get in touch with us and we can arrange something like that. And of course, we appreciate the auto host back if you're hosting our channel, which I know a number of people automatically do as well. So it's a really nice feature that Twitch implemented. It allows, you know, communities to grow and do all of that stuff. Alrighty, I'll spam you one more time. Of course, we are heading to PAX East 2017. You can head on over to our website, infectionpodcast.com/PAX, and drop us a few bucks to cover my my impulsive buying habits. It's infectionpodcast.com/PAX. We have just 16 days until the show opens. We are super hyped and ready to go. It's going to be a great time. So, looking forward to that. Of course, if you have any questions about PAX East, places that we should visit, people we should talk to, interviews that we should do, get in touch with us. You can either tweet us at InfectionCast, send us an email, contact@infectionpodcast.com. That'll go to both Brian and myself. If it's a group thing, if you're send us an email or message both of us, because I may get a message, I may not see it. Brian may get a message, he might not see it, and we don't have, you know, Brian and I never talk to each other besides the show, so we don't get an option to forward any of those messages. But if it's something like that, feel free to send us an email or tweet us, and we both get emails and notifications for those. So other than that,
yep. If you want to find me at Boise Computer on Twitter, you're more than welcome to go check out my blog, biteoftech.com. That's B-I-T-E of tech.com. If you haven't gone to our website, you're looking for ways to find us on your podcatcher app, different like YouTube, you can go to our website, infectionpodcast.com. On the right-hand side, we have links. So a link that'll you'll be able to use on your device that should take you right to whatever app you're using, or you can pick a service. Really easy to use. Also, there's a link for our Discord on there. There's a link for our Steam group. You know, follow us on those places. It's a good way to support us, help us to figure out what our numbers are, because other than that, sometimes we have no clue.
Podcast statistics are some of the most unreliable pieces of information. One week you have everybody in the world listening, the next week you have nobody listening, according to some of our podcast statistics. So we appreciate those. Of course, our Discord, our Steam group, you get those notifications for the Steam Game of the Week, if we remember, and for the show. Follow us on Twitter. We retweet game deals and pretty much haggle developers. that's about all we do on Twitter. It's not crazy active. We won't be spamming your feed. Other than that, thank you very much, Brian. We'll see you next week. You can follow me on Twitter at Nicholas M. Craig. Haven't done the Crummy Show in a couple weeks. We've had some massive snowfalls here the past 2 weeks that have kept us from not doing the Crummy Show. But Jake sent me a text and he said, "I believe we should try and do the show this week." I think is his exact wording. So
we'll dig a tunnel to your house.
Yeah. Most of it is melted by now, but we will do our best to be back this week with another episode of the Crummy Show. Of course, our website is infectionpodcast.com. We do the show live every Tuesday, 7 p.m. Eastern, on our Twitch channel, twitch.tv/infectionpodcast. Thanks for tuning in, everyone. Have a great week.